Hello, I'm Rod Butler. Welcome to Let God Speak. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is the living embodiment of the good news for all mankind. His life and ministry give a comprehensive demonstration of his mission to reach people from all regions with the good news of God. According to Mark's Gospel, Jesus engaged in an active daily ministry. Today we are going to look into his daily active ministry as described in chapter 1. On our panel today, we have Gail Fong and Lena Yun. Welcome, Gail. Welcome, Lena.
Thank you.
Well, before we start our discussion on the book of Mark, let's bow and have prayer. Gracious Father, as we open the book of Mark and we discuss chapter 1, we ask, Lord, please, for the Holy Spirit to open us, open our minds and teach us. We pray, Lord, too, that our listeners will be blessed and the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, each of the four Gospels have a different theme. We look at the Gospel of Mark, and it's got one theme we'll talk about. But we look at the other three. We have Matthew. Matthew's Gospel has the perspective of Jesus as the great teacher. Luke was a doctor, and his perspective was of Jesus, the great healer. And then we have John, the beloved. His perspective was of Jesus being the Son of God and the Creator. So, Gail, with the different perspectives, how would you describe the perspective of the book of Mark?
Well, the Gospel of Mark portrays Jesus as the action Messiah. And in chapter 1, the word immediately and straightforward, or straight away, I should say, are used four times, particularly in the King James Version. So we see these action words portraying that Jesus got the job done. He didn't procrastinate. He was someone that used every moment. Every moment was golden. He may never pass that way again. So he was a Messiah of action.
Okay, well, let's look at some of this action. We're going to pick up the story of Jesus' life in Mark chapter 1, picking up from verse 16. I'm going to read four verses, so just bear with me. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brothers, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook the nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending the nets. And straightway, there's that word again, Gail, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. So this appears like they've just met Jesus for the first time and he's called them and they're just leaving their jobs. Lena, how could they do this?
Right. This call by the sea to be full-time disciples is also mentioned in both Matthew and Luke. And when we compare all the Gospels, and we can see that Peter, Andrew, James and John had been the followers of Christ already since the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist. So, and also when we look at in between Mark 1 and 13, and there is about a year of time. So, and the 12 disciples, initially they were the part-time sort of followers, but towards the end of, the middle of Christ's ministry, they were to be called the full-time disciples. So they actually had known Christ before this call, so it's not the first time for them to know Christ. And so they must have been given a plenty of time to make an informed decision to follow Christ on a full-time basis.
Okay, well, that helps explain it, because it looks like they've just sort of, for the first time, left everything. But they did know about Jesus beforehand. They'd heard of him, they'd been his disciple, his followers.
Yep.
Okay, well, the Gospel of John is the only one that covers the Judean ministry. And as you said, between verses 13 and 14, there's a period of time, which was that ministry. And Mark launches straight into the Galilean ministry, where Jesus is based in Capernaum, which is a major regional town on the Sea of Galilee. And Mark describes Jesus going to the synagogue. So, Gail, what was different about Jesus when he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day?
Well, I'll just read from the scriptures there in Mark chapter 1, and reading verse 21 and 22. It says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So right here, as he begins to preach or teach, he's distinguished by his ability to expound on the scriptures. But he would have done it with such heart and passion, because the scriptures are all about him. Now, there was no hesitation, there was no doubt, as there was with the scribes and Pharisees. There was no mixing of tradition, there was no reason for debate. He taught them as one having authority, but that personal warmth of God's love for them would have come through so strongly that he touched their hearts, and he was inspiring to listen to. He was filling their quenching their thirst for spiritual food.
Like no one else has been able to do. It would have been awesome to listen to. Now, Lena, on that particular Sabbath day, something quite interesting happened. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm going to read Mark 1, 23, verses 23 to 26 first. Here it says, "Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? And did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him." So, there was a demon-possessed man, basically, and actually in the synagogue. And I picture the scene that would be sort of amazing to watch. And also, we can see a couple of points here. And the second point is that he identified Christ as the Messiah. So he says, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, and also the Holy One of God. So described Jesus as the one who had authority over demons. And also obeyed the command of God instantly. So when Jesus had come out of him, he did come out of him instantly. And lastly, as we can see here in verse 27, and the people were there all amazed and stunned at the scene.
This is happening in church.
Yes.
Would have been spectacular. A massive impression would have been made hearing Jesus deal with this situation so with such authority.
Yeah.
Gail, why did Jesus tell this demon to be quiet?
Well, as Lena read there before, the demon declared that Jesus was the Son of God. And that man, he would not have known that himself. It's definitely the demon speaking through him. So this claim that Jesus was God was why the Jews actually wanted to kill him. Just reading in the book of John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.' Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So it was also a turbulent time politically, and Jesus did not want his ministry associated with other anti-Roman political messiahs that would hinder his work, of course. And he did not want any restrictions also or distractions for the people accepting him as the Messiah and also his teachings, what he's come to share.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, just on that point, Lena, Jesus didn't want the demons to broadcast who he was. He wanted the people to accept him as the Messiah based on his lifestyle and his teachings, not because some crazy demon was saying so. Do we have to be careful today with us how we present information to people?
Yes, we do have to be very careful. So when we have Bible studies with the new believers, with the new seekers, then we need to take them through the logical sequences of the Bible text so that it allows them to have an informed decision at each stage or each step. And it's quite important for us as a teacher to actually give them or provide them with enough or adequate time for them to process the information that's given to them so it can lead up to it rather than jumping into the conclusions.
Because if they jump into the conclusion, they won't have any background or basis.
That's right.
And okay. Well, that Sabbath service, as spectacular as it was, came to an end. And after the Sabbath service, they had Sabbath lunch, and the disciples all go to Peter's house. Gail, how does Mark reveal that Jesus is an action Messiah at lunch?
Well, just reading from the scriptures there, account there in Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 31, the Bible says, "Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." So this account of Peter's mother-in-law being sick with a fever is also recorded in the book of Matthew and also in Luke. So this fever was very severe. She was bedridden. She has guests in her home. And Jesus immediately healed her. So he went straight into action by stopping that fever and restoring her so that she could minister to their physical needs. And she had her normal energy levels back, and it would have been I'm sure it was a very sweet time of fellowship that Sabbath afternoon there. So it was not only Jesus, but he had his disciples with him. So Jesus showed that it was perfectly okay to do acts of mercy, kindness and healing on the Sabbath.
Yeah, very powerful. Lena, just in regards to Jesus' healing and the total restoration of Peter's mother-in-law with all her energy levels back, what she did after she was healed, is there a lesson there for us today?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lesson for us to learn. When Jesus came to Peter's mother-in-law's house and healed her, her immediate response was to serve Christ and the 12 disciples. So in other words, she used her restored health to serve others. So that is a lesson for us, actually. When Jesus heals of our illnesses, and our first responses should be to immediately, just like Peter's mother-in-law did, to use our restored health to serve others or those who are around us. So itself, it can be a powerful witness or ministry itself. Mm.
Yeah, so if we are healed, our new energy should be to serve the Lord, not to go back to our old ways and that could have caused our illness in the first place. Lena, staying with you, that Sabbath came to a close, but at the end of the Sabbath, there was another surprise. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go and read Mark 1, 32 to 34 here. "So at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." So here, the reputation of Jesus Christ must be really well known in terms of healing the sick and also all various diseases. And also Capernaum was one of the major cities at that time. And as we have read in verse 33, the whole city was gathered together at the door. So there must have been hundreds or even thousands. We don't know how many, but it to be
would have been
exact,
a pretty big deal, yeah.
Yeah. Waiting outside at the door for Christ to heal them, heal their illnesses.
Yeah, so just on that, Gail, seeing so many people outside, what impression would this have made on the disciples?
Well, we know from the Gospel of John that Jesus was rejected by the Jews in his Judean ministry. And so also earlier that day in the synagogue, Jesus told the demon to be quiet when he told the man to keep quiet, his identity, when he delivered him of the demon. So while he's casting out demons there in the evening, he was also commanding them to be quiet. Although it's interesting that the whole city was there at the front door. But the disciples must have been a little disheartened, perhaps, that he was rejecting them to spread abroad.
And to acknowledge his messiahship.
Yeah. Yes. And so it greatly would have strengthened their faith to see the miracles, but not only the miracles, but the huge crowd that came to Jesus for healing.
Well, after that busy evening of healing the last person, just think the whole city of Capernaum wouldn't have had a single person who was sick or demon-possessed or
amazing.
Any other thing.
Yeah.
But Jesus would have been working pretty hard in his ministry. Gail, Jesus does something. What does he do?
Well, in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So Jesus would have been exhausted after the long day of ministry and going late into the night in healing. Yet, and he would have welcomed, I'm sure, a very solid sleep. But he awoke very early in the morning, the Bible tells us. Before daylight, he arose. So he did that to pray to his Father. Obviously, where he's staying, there are other people. They're in the hospitality of a home there. So he regarded prayer more important than sleep.
Yeah, and as you said, he went into a solitary place. He wanted no distractions. He didn't want any people to interrupt. It portrays a very personal, a private, intimate time with God, which is amazing. So, Lena, another lesson for you to answer is, what's the important lesson there for us today, seeing what Jesus has done?
Yeah, so one of the outstanding and significant aspects in Jesus' ministry was his prayer life. So he prayed often, constantly, and efficiently. So Jesus's example should be our example in terms of his constant prayer life. So I'm going to read Luke 11:13 first. Here it says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, we'll be given the Holy Spirit whenever we, ask God. And also we get the power and the strength from through our prayers. And also we know this verse, the 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Again, it talks about the importance of constant prayer. And lastly, I'm going to go to Matthew 6 and verse 6. Okay, so here, "But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So it speaks about the importance of praying. The prayer should be private and personal and intimate. There's times when we pray in a group, but also like on a regular daily basis, we should have a personal relationship with God through our prayers.
Yeah. That's the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Gail, when we're tired, is that a valid excuse not to pray?
Well, Jesus prioritised his life around prayer, even when he was tired. So he prioritised prayer over sleep, the Bible tells us. And being busy and tired, it's not a good idea to neglect prayer and spending that time, because Jesus didn't. And he had that uninterrupted private time with his Father in heaven. So it's an excellent example for us, no matter how tired we may be. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So that waiting upon the Lord there, in trusting in God's word. But we have to also listen to him. And it's that two-way communication. As we're talking with him, God will speak to our hearts as well. So prayer time actually refreshes us physically and prepares us for the busy days ahead. And I'm reminded, as I was studying this lesson, of David Livingstone. And on May 1873, he was found kneeling by his bed, dead, but he was found by his African servants in the posture of prayer. And I think that's a wonderful example of someone who followed in Jesus' example.
Yeah, very powerful as well. Well, just on praying and Jesus' prayer life, we have in Luke 6 and verse 12, let's read this text. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Now, that is remarkable to pray all night, because you'd think you'd be so tired the next day. Lena, how do we use this as an example for us?
Sure. And one of the important aspects, again, in Jesus' ministry was that he often spent the entire night in prayer. So here in Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed again, spend the whole night in prayer, because he was to select from his followers his 12 disciples next day to become full-time disciples. So he needed definitely the power and strength and the direction from his Father. So, and as Gail read earlier in Mark 1:35, it's really important in his ministry that you know, Jesus was about to embark on his first Galilean ministry. So he needed to pray a lot.
It was a big moment in Jesus'
life.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's keep moving through on chapter 1. We have Mark ends with Jesus healing a leper. Now, before we get into the story, Lena, why was healing a leper such a spectacular thing?
Because in those days, leprosy was considered highly contagious and fatal disease, as there was no cure or treatment for it. And also the Jews believed that a man with leprosy, actually they were cursed by God as a result of sin. So no Jews actually had any regard to heal someone who was cursed by God. And so those individuals had to be quarantined, and they, without any support, and had to suffer alone.
So if you had leprosy back then, you were literally on your own.
Yep.
Society rejected you. Let's look at the story. We're going to pick up the story from Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 40 to 43. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away." So what can you say, Gail, about the leper's faith here?
Oh, he had massive faith to do that, because there hadn't been a healing of someone with leprosy for 800 years recorded in scripture since Naaman. So he had assumed in his heart that God would heal him because he's healing all these other people. Why not him? And so that takes faith, even when he's considered cursed by God in society there. So as he got close enough, and as he came to Jesus, close enough to talk to Jesus, and then as we mentioned, Jesus physically touches him. And yes, he was moved with compassion, and Jesus healed him. So despite all the prejudice there, he made his presence to Jesus for healing. That is faith in action.
Lena, in verse 43, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. We also have that he said to tell no man anything. Why would Jesus tell the leper not to tell anybody?
Okay, so the only way that this, you know, man with leprosy could be accepted back into society was if he had the certification or validation from the priest. So, you know, Jesus was hated by the priests and the rulers already. So if the rulers and the priests knew that, you know, Jesus healed this man with leprosy, then it would be almost impossible for the priest to actually give them validation, because they would have refused to do so.
Yeah, he was still thinking of the man's well-being to be accepted by society.
Yeah.
So, Gail, what was the consequences of him telling everyone what Jesus had done?
Well, by disobeying Jesus' commands to quietly go about and not mention anything, this made it impossible for Jesus to actually continue his work in some of those towns, because all the lepers of the regions would have come and flocked to him. And then that the people would not only been attracted to Jesus also for his miracles, but they would have perhaps kept others away that would have loved to have drawn close to Jesus. And has been mentioned there in Mark 1:44, and he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way and show yourself to the priests," as has been mentioned. So, yes,
remarkable.
Very
That's
important.
All we've got time for. Thank you, Gail, and thank you, Lena. Amazing stories. Well, the opening chapter of the book of Mark indeed shows Jesus to be an action Messiah. Jesus calls for disciples and they respond. He has the power to cast out demons. Jesus has compassion for the sick and heals them. His prayer life is active and takes priority over his tiredness. And finally, he touches the skin to heal the untouchable leper. The Jesus of Mark chapter 1 is the same Jesus alive today. Why not invite him into your life and let him cleanse your heart and heal you? Well, we're glad you joined us today on Let God Speak. Remember, all past programs plus teacher's notes are available on our website, 3abnaustralia.org.au. Email us on lgs@3abnaustralia.org.au, and God bless.
You have been listening to Let God Speak, a production of 3ABN Australia Television. To catch up on past programs, please visit 3abnaustralia.org.au. Call us in Australia on 02 4973 3456 or email radio@3abnaustralia.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.